Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's For Love of Food at SaverLife.com. And some rain today, desperately needed. There are a lot of farmers that are excited to have some help with keeping their crops alive after this brutal heat wave. It looks like it will be hot next week, later in the week, but maybe some more regular rain, or at least thunderstorms, are forecasted at this point, which can always change. But maybe we've seen the worst of at least this current heat wave. And, you know, ask them about it when you go to the farmers markets, when you stop at the farm stands. You know, ask them how they're doing, and, you know, what's some things really love this heat that we've had. Some things are going to be struggling. So, again, try to get to some of the farm stands around the area, and you can go to the public market. You can go to the Brighton Farmers Market tomorrow. You can go to the Westside Farmers Market on Tuesday. That is a much smaller market. So if you're trying to avoid the crowds, the Westside Farmers Market probably don't have as many vendors, but they have some fabulous vendors. Just not as big a market, but that's one of the reasons there are not as many people. So, if you're looking to avoid crowds, Tuesday, sort of afternoon, evening, 4 to 7, 4 to 7:30 or so at the St. Monica's Church in my neighborhood, 19th Ward, just across the river from the University of Rochester, each Tuesday night through early fall, and many other farmers markets going on. I saw a note about the one in Perry. On Saturdays, they are a great way to shop. You wear a mask as recommended or mandated, and you know, practice social distancing. Be careful. We are at a critical stage next few weeks. Whether we're going to keep this under some control in New York State, or whether we're going to end up like some of these other states and have to go backwards and start shutting some things down once again. And in some ways, we have to make up for the people who are not wearing masks here in New York State, because there are people who won't. There are people who think it's a political statement that they're making, that no one's going to make me wear a mask. And it's... They're just ignoring the science on it. Masks are what's going to make a huge difference in whether our economy is going to survive this pandemic or not. We keep having to shut down because the hospitals are full and too many people are dying. How's the economy going to ever recover? So wear a mask, and make it a colorful one. Get a Black Lives Matter mask. You can make a statement with it, but wear a mask, and be thoughtful, be respectful, be careful, and realize that the stores are mandating, most stores and restaurants, you've got to wear a mask unless you're seated at your table and eating. If you get up to go to the bathroom, put your mask on. It's really very simple. And yet, as simple as things seem, people are still really avoiding the reality of what's going to happen if people are not wearing masks. So, again, younger people, in some cases, parties and big get-togethers, and they are less affected by the COVID virus, but unfortunately, they probably interact at some point with loved ones, with neighbors, with coworkers, with others who are maybe older, maybe have their health already compromised to some degree, and they're not thinking about that. And that's what's going to hit us, a couple months from now, really those people start ending up in the hospitals. There's this lag effect. So we think everything's fine, and then it's going to come back and bite us really hard. So wear a mask, get outside, shop outside, and, you know, with the farm markets and farmers markets, that's a great opportunity to do that. And there's lots of them around the area. Almost every day of the week, someone posted about whether there's a farmer's market on Fridays. None that I know of. And Mondays also, there seldom are farmer's markets, but pretty much every other day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, you can find a farmer's market. And of course, the public market, that's open Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And they're starting their garage sales once again on Sundays. And those are a great place to get some bargains. And I've often gone there for garden equipment and gardening tools. Amazing what you'll find at those community garage sales. So again, especially with restaurants, be careful and just assume when you go somewhere near people, you need to wear a mask because you do. And the more we do it, the more peer pressure there is for other people that are reluctant or don't want to, but maybe will if they see so many other people wearing masks. This past week has been a busy week for Black-owned restaurants. It's the Rochester Black Restaurant Week. Started July 6th through July 12th. And for today, Uncle Moe's, which is in my neighborhood, in the 19th Ward, right near Tops on West Avenue, and kind of at, it's effectively Thurston Road at that point, although I think it changes to Gardner maybe at that point. But it's Uncle Moe's has been there for a long time. Now, these restaurants have been selling out because of the publicity, so keep that in mind. Call and place an order and do that early today if you're interested. But beyond this week, and they had the French Quarter Cafe on Monday and Rock City Ramen on Tuesday. By the way, they only have one of their two locations that are open. Da Vinci of Greece, which that was Wednesday. Taste of Bahamas was Thursday. Yesterday was Caribbean Heritage, which is also close to me on Plymouth and Columbia, and in a cool old building. And then again, Uncle Moe's today, and for tomorrow and Sunday, just generally support a Black-owned restaurant. And there are many of them. They obviously, there was one each day, and those got tons of orders and, again, sold out. But put those names in the back of your mind. Make a little note of some of the ones that you might like to visit. French Quarter Cafe is one of the only places to find, really, New Orleans-style cuisine here in our area. There aren't many other options. And it's in a cool historic building where the Landmark Society used to be on Spring Street in downtown Rochester. Heritage Cafe was there for a while. They left, and French Quarter Cafe moved into that space. They originally started in the 19th Ward and then moved to Park Avenue, where Mad Hatter's is now. And then French Quarter moved right downtown. It's right behind the school district building next to the Jonathan Child House, just inside the Inner Loop. So again, put these restaurants there, make a note of some of them maybe, and try and get there in the next few weeks, in the next month. There have been a couple of really excellent lists of restaurants, Black-owned restaurants. The Democrat and Chronicle, Tracy Schumacher, put together excellent one with background about some of these, some nice photos, phone numbers so you can call, and details like Rock City Ramen's, one of their locations, is closed right now. Arnett Cafe is one that's in our neighborhood, and she says Norman Brown is the chef owner. It's known for its chicken and waffles, Louisiana-style shrimp and grits, and its hospitality. And as I've said quite a few times, Norman's just one of the friendliest, most welcoming restaurant owners that I've met anywhere, and not just Rochester, but elsewhere. So he's often in the kitchen cooking, but I especially appreciate it when he's out front sometimes, and you can say hello to him. Really, some hospitality that other restaurants could learn from. So a nice list again, democratandchronicle.com. Places like some of the ones that were on the Black Restaurant Week, but also Bobo's Chicken Shack, which is on Joseph Avenue, and they do fried ribs there as well as chicken. Cooking and Eating Healthy with Phil is on this list, and Philomena is at the Rochester Public Market on Saturdays only right now in Shed B. She does some fabulous food. As Tracy describes it, without using refined sugar, butter, white flour, or deep frying. So, and she also is just a kind of effervescently lovely person. Really, someone you should go out of your way to meet and try her food. It's gluten-free, and quite a bit of it is vegan. So it's Cooking and Eating Healthy with Phil. She's also done a couple of cookbooks for kids, trained as a journalist in Nigeria, and fascinating person to meet. So go find her at the Rochester Public Market. A bunch of other places. Forno di Laura is in Panorama Plaza, Penfield Road, and one of the Rochester Food Net collaborators, Vince Press, put up an Instagram story about that. Forno di Laura and Panorama Plaza. Some bakeries like GG Bakes. They are this year only going to be at the Westside Farmers Market on Tuesdays. So that's why you should go to the Westside Farmers Market to get some of their cookies, pies, cakes, and quite a few other things. They also sell their, according to Tracy, the shortcake biscuits and pies at R's Market in Brighton. And you can order. So Tracy has a phone number here. The Democrat and Chronicle, some of these articles like this are subscription only, and you should consider subscribing, as I said last week, supporting local journalism. The DNC is part of Gannett, but also they've got some wonderful local reporters, and I pay $10 a month for a digital subscription, so get it so you can read these articles and refer to them, go back to them. And also on here is John John's Bakery, which is at the Brighton Farmers Market, and they have some fabulous dishes. They moved their Sunday suppers to Thursday suppers, so because they're back at the Brighton Farmers Market now that it reopened quite a while ago now. And they've been doing a Sunday supper, which now is a Thursday supper, and you can look them up online. You can call them. Happy to get you contact information for any of these places. But their peanut butter balls are outrageously good. It's kind of like a peanut butter nougat dipped in chocolate. And they are just the kind of thing to work great with coffee or as a snack. Get at least one of those peanut butter balls to try at the Brighton Farmers Market tomorrow. So yeah, that's John John's Bakery, one of the many places in this article from the Democrat and Chronicle. Also, Leah Stacey put out a spreadsheet of Black-owned restaurants, which has, I think, 53 on there in our area. Some of them are temporarily closed because of coronavirus and the shutdown, decided not to reopen yet. So you should check and see, you know, if you want that spreadsheet. Someone sent it to me, and I'm not sure actually where they saw this, but if you want the spreadsheet, happy to send it along to you. Send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. It gives links on Facebook and websites, like phone numbers and addresses, and really I don't know if she did it, but someone put together a lot of work to list these restaurants and bakeries, especially food stores. So again, a couple of great resources if you want to expand your dining experiences. And a lot of these are Caribbean. Caribbean food be a great chance to explore that if you haven't. There are a surprising number of Caribbean restaurants in our area. It's pretty extraordinary. And let me know what your favorites are, and maybe even particularly what you have when you go there. You can email me, michael@saverlife.com. Also, a reminder, look up Edible Finger Lakes and consider becoming a subscriber to that. Like most small businesses right now, struggling to get advertisers, struggling, to get enough income in to keep going, and your subscription make a huge difference. And it's a fabulous publication. So look up EdibleFingerLakes.com, and you can get more details there. Inexpensive subscription too, by the way. I saw a note from Kate Schlenker, Newberry and Friends Markets. It's going to be pretty much all inside today because of the weather. Her retail is open 11 to 5, and she's got some cool things. She posted a photo on Facebook of the probably the coconut cream pies that she does with some violas on top, which make a gorgeous decoration. She's also doing cherry and strawberry rhubarb pies. I had a strawberry rhubarb pie a couple weeks ago that was from her, that was delicious. Some key lime chocolate tarts, lemon cream tarts, as well as cherry cheesecake tarts. And then, of course, she has her pot pies, savory pot pies, chicken veggie shepherd's pie, and sausage peppers and onions as her specialty one this week. But part of the Newberry and Friends, she has products from some of those other collaborating businesses. So Pasta Classics, she's got some raviolis and stromboli from them. Sauce from Giuliemo's and Flower City Pastas. Beef jerky, bacon and ground beef from Schrader's, which is in the Finger Lakes. It's a butcher in the Finger Lakes. And also cheeses from Miranda Cheese Company. I picked up several cheeses when I stopped in last at Newberry. So she's open 11 to 5 today. That's in the Genesee Regional Market, but kind of far away from Lori's Natural Foods and Cheesy Eddie's and Palmer's. That's sort of the heart of the Genesee Regional Market. And there are more businesses that are going to be moving in with a new building that they just put up and are finishing right now. And you get to Newberry Park Pastries by taking Mushroom Boulevard off of Clay Road. So if you take Clay Road off of Jefferson or off of Brighton and Town Line Road, Clay Road goes right through the market. And one direction, you'll go to Lori's Natural Foods and Palmer's and Cheesy Eddie's. And the other direction, you'll go to Newberry Park Pastries, which is kind of at the end of the road. It's not that far, though. As I've said before, kind of behind the Christmas tree shop and Home Depot that are on Jefferson Road, so, Mushroom Boulevard is parallel to that off of Clay. So stop in and see her. And if there's any of those that sound especially good and you're not going to get there till later this afternoon, I would call her and ask her to set them aside for you, because she does sell out of these. And we'll be at the Brighton Farmers Market tomorrow, so she could maybe bring something there for you if you can't get there today. Again, one of the small producers doing really great quality stuff, the Savor event that was held last year for Rochester Regional Health Foundation, they had 20 different restaurants and bakers and things that were there, and Newbury Park Pastries was one of the top three that were chosen for the as the best by the judge, and so they have some fantastic food. And if you know of a place like that is a favorite of yours, haven't heard me mention it, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. That's how I hear about these places, and always appreciate details and finding out more about small places that don't really do in some cases any advertising at all. This is one of the only ways you hear about them is word of mouth. This past week, been doing some posts over the last couple weeks on Instagram for Rochester Food Net, and did one a couple days ago with Soy Boy, which is tofu and tempeh made right here in Rochester. But you can find it all over, at least the Northeast, I think. They distribute fairly widely. But we've fallen in love with their smoked tofu, which is something you don't need to cook. It's got a kind of a lightly smoked flavor. It's great alternative protein and quite a few different things if you want a little bit of a smoky flavor. They also do a Caribbean one and an Asian one, the smoked tofus, and then the regular extra firm tofu is something we've cooked with quite a bit. But I think their factory is over near where I live, near the 19th Ward. And so, but a lot of people don't realize it's a local product and delicious one. So look for that and experiment with it. Did a post on Ithaca hummus because that's also something we eat a lot of. And they do a beet hummus, a chipotle hummus that's a little spicy, and lemon dill. They've got a roasted red pepper hummus, and they're made in Ithaca, of course, but another product that's fairly wide distribution. I've seen it other parts of the Northeast in my travels, and you find it at places like Lori's and Natural Foods and Abundance Market. I don't know if Wegmans carries it, or Tops or other large grocery stores. They might, but just haven't looked for it there. I get it at Lori's and Abundance. So again, some local products that maybe you haven't tasted yet, you should look for those. And I mean, hummus is very easy to make, but not necessarily easy to add these flavors like the chipotle or the beets. The color of the beet hummus is worth it alone. And really is a vibrant purple. Again, sort of simply made products done really well. And maybe they'll inspire you to make some of your own hummus. There was two cookbook authors were in town a year ago. And one of the things they did for their cooking presentation was to make hummus. Again, it's one of those very simple things that you can take. You know, probably the fastest way is to use canned chickpeas, which are really delicious, and you know, puree those with tahini and maybe some garlic, and really very, very simple thing to make. But you know, sometimes you want something a little bit easier, or you want to try some other flavors of something that you like, and Ithaca hummus is delicious. Really, we consume quite a surprising amount of that. And I just had the the chipotle one, which is a little spicy, on crackers with some sliced tomatoes on top of that, and that was a pretty spectacular combination. And tomatoes are starting to, we're starting to get some really good tomatoes. You know, year round you see tomatoes in the grocery store and they look good. They just taste like cardboard. I mean, really, pretty much. They look beautiful. They've got the red color down really well on grocery store tomatoes. But some of the cherry tomatoes have a bit of flavor, but in general, you know, grocery store tomatoes are just, and in the height of tomato season this summer, which is really just starting now, we'll still see those same, you know, vine tomatoes in the grocery stores. So get out and get as many tomatoes as you can buy in the next couple of months. Through September, probably we'll have fantastic tomatoes. But, you know, it's already, we're already into, toward the middle of July. So you got to consume as many as you can, as fast as you can. I saw some posts from Herd Orchards that cherries are in. Cherry season is here. It's a short season. So take advantage of it and get out and get some cherries, either at their farm market, or check and see if they have pick your own. They also have raspberries right now. Those are amazing. They are open now Wednesdays through Saturdays. And you can pick your own blueberries, pick your own cherries and raspberries. But wear a mask when you go in the farm market. When you're near people, have your mask there so you can put it on and, again, respect other people. One of the photos that they posted on Instagram of the raspberries, the black raspberries, they were just perfect. And they were groups of like maybe six black raspberries. And the middle one is the dominant one that ripens first, and it had turned black. And the other ones were still red. And so, but it looked just like flowers. Really a striking photo. And a lot of people looking at that photo would think it was a picture of flowers. But it's just that center black raspberry ripens first, and then while the other ones are red, which means you got to go pick several times. And when they're ripe, they will come off fairly easily. Generally, the ones that are not ripe, you'll find are harder or maybe even impossible to pick. So head out and explore the cherries, blueberries, and raspberries. They're open today, 11 to 3. It's by appointment, so call to schedule a time. They don't want people to drive all the way out there and then they're swamped with customers and there are too many people out picking. They're trying to keep you safe and themselves. So you need to schedule a time to pick. And again, call today, maybe schedule for this coming week, Thursday through Saturday, for pick your own. So again, with the weather today, not a great pick your own day, but you might want to call them and see if they have some cherries, blueberries, raspberries that are available. You could drive out and get at their farm market until 3 today. But maybe find a time to go pick your own this coming week. The temperatures are at least going to be below 90 from what I've seen, but still pretty warm. We're at this juncture of the seasons where the cherries, the blueberries, the raspberries are all there. The peaches are coming. Strawberries really got torched. If you find strawberries, get them, but that season is definitely slowing down. Some super hot and dry weather for the strawberries this past week, and they're already winding down as cherries, blueberries, and raspberries wind up And if you want them at the farmers markets, I would go early. So that means, you know, go early tomorrow to the Brighton Farmers Market. I didn't check to see whether the Brighton Market is still having the first hour for older people that are perhaps worried about the exposure and trying to avoid crowds. You can go to brightonfarmersmarket.org and get details also on which vendors are going to be there, the hours and things. It's again brightonfarmersmarket.org, and great time to go and shop locally. The site says the first hour, 9 to 10, is reserved for seniors, vulnerable individuals, and those who have pre-ordered. So keep that in mind, 9 to 10 a.m. Leave your dogs at home. They're asking, at this point, masks are required. Pre-order, if possible. You know, the farmers really love that. It may be too late to pre-order for tomorrow, just because the farmers aren't going to have time to process those pre-orders. But it varies depending on the vendor. You could check the website for the Brighton Farmers Market and maybe think about pre-ordering for next week. That's something that a lot of farms, Herd Orchards included, have discovered that pre-ordering helps them. It helps the customer make sure that they have what they're looking for. And I think we'll see that continue even after this coronavirus pandemic is over. I think we'll see pre-ordering something that is encouraged. Also, Herd Orchards has been doing harvest boxes on Thursdays, either for pickup at the market or delivering them to Rochester. And they're a combination of basically like a CSA from a fruit farm. So a bunch of different kinds of fruit that are in season. Maybe something like garlic scapes. Earlier they had asparagus. A bouquet of flowers is always part of it. And they do bouquets of flowers like very few people can do. They actually have 30 acres of flowers at Herd Orchards. And then something from their bakery too. And usually six eggs from Amelia's Chickens. So the harvest basket, harvest box is really kind of a fun surprise for what's in season. So you call Herd Orchards to order those. I need to order those in advance, again, for Thursdays. I saw Cornell Cooperative Extension has some classes coming up also, often some links to local farms. If you're looking for farms around our region, they might be a really good source for that. Or email me if you're looking for something in particular. Perhaps I can help you find a farm that's growing it. Something unusual, maybe something that you've had trouble finding. I remember going to a farm market in Cape Cod, and they had callaloo, which is a green, kind of maybe in between kale or collards and spinach. Callaloo, I'd never seen it before. It turns out that a grocery store in my neighborhood, D&L Grocery on Genesee Street, sometimes has callaloo. But never seen it in grocery stores or farm markets. I haven't heard farmers talk about it. It was a delicious green. I expect there will be some farmers that will be growing it at some point. So if you see callaloo, let me know. Or maybe some other unusual plants and greens and things. Last year I got some ginger to grow from Lighthouse Gardens at the Brighton Farmers Market. Todd Lighthouse said this year that the supply's been very limited. He wasn't able to get any to grow out and then sell the plants for you to take home at the Brighton Farmers Market. So at least last I checked with him, he didn't have any ginger. But you could just take the ginger you get, at the store and cut part of that off and plant it, and it would probably grow. You have to bring it in for the winter and just maybe harvest what's there. It's kind of late. It was helpful because he started them in his greenhouse. But if you want to see what it grows like, experiment with a little bit. It might be kind of fun. I've put in a couple artichokes plants this year. And last year when I put them in, they were ended up being shaded by tomatoes. So this year I put the artichoke in the front, and we'll see if I'm able to produce some artichokes. Usually you have to buy it from someone buy the seedling from someone who has put it somewhere cold so that convince it's been through a winter, and then it'll produce artichokes the second year. So we'll see whether I get any artichokes this year. But let me know what you're growing and what you're finding at the farmers markets. You can email me, michael@saverlife.com. One final note, the Brown Hound downtown has reopened at the Memorial Art Gallery. Now that the art gallery is open to the public, the Brown Hound is open, and always a awesome menu, but also their baked goods are fantastic. If you haven't been in to try those, go visit the Brown Hound at the Memorial Art Gallery. Wear a mask, socially distance, keep other people safe. Let's keep our businesses reopening and not go backwards. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes. You can find that here at saverlife.com. And, of course, tomorrow, the grapevine. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here and saverlife.com.